Welcome to Beyond the Divide, where we cut through the noise to discover the truth that we're all just people and we're in this together. There is a growing phenomenon in our world today. It's a growing disconnect in human communication, where conversations seem to follow a script of politeness, but they lack genuine understanding and connection. My husband calls it the Babel effect. We just are not understanding one another anymore. People speak because they want to be heard, but then they're unwilling to listen to the others that they're speaking to. And they aren't truly listening to hear what the other is saying, but simply to be able to have a rebuttal prepared to respond. When talking recently with an old friend, the conversation felt awkward and strained. It felt like the questions that we asked about each other's families were more just for the fact that that's what's polite and expected in conversation, and not because we felt genuine concern or wonder. Even among families, it feels like there's less and less common ground. So what is it that makes us feel like we can't communicate anymore? Has our society gone so far downhill that we simply speak to others because it's polite? The Babel effect seems to capture a social dynamic where people engage in surface-level interactions. We ask the right questions, we nod along, we're very polite, but we fail to truly listen, empathize, and connect with the answers. It's as if we're all speaking different languages, not literally, but emotionally and cognitively, and it's leading to strained and hollow conversation. Today, I want to explore this effect. You know that feeling. You're chatting with someone, you're asking them all the right questions, you're being super polite, but it feels like no one is really listening. Conversations are strained and misunderstandings abound, and genuine care seems like it's completely missing. It's like we're all speaking different languages, even when we're not. So I'm going to jump back in time for a second. I want to tell you guys about the time of the Tower of Babel. And I wrote it into a story. It is historically accurate, but I did take just a little bit of creative license. So I hope you enjoy it. In the days when the world was young and the floodwaters of Noah's time had receded into memory, humanity gathered in the fertile plains of Shinar, a land kissed by the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. The people, descendants of a single lineage, spoke one tongue. Their words flowed like the rivers themselves, clear, unified, unbroken. They were a people of restless ambition, their hearts stirred by the desire to leave a mark upon the earth, to rise above the dust from which they were formed. In Shinar, where the sun baked the earth into clay, they learned to craft bricks, firing them into kilns until they gleamed like stone. "Why build with what nature gives us?" they said. "Let us shape the world to our will." And so, with mortar and brick, they dreamed of a city unlike any before. A city crowned with a tower that would pierce the heavens, a monument to their unity and strength. They called it Babel, meaning the gate of God, for they believed it would bridge earth and sky, making their name eternal. The leader of this endeavor was no king, but a visionary, his voice as persuasive as the wind. He stood before the people, his robes stained with clay, and spoke of a tower so grand that even the gods would pause to admire it. "Let us build not just for ourselves," he declared, "but for all who come after, so they may know of our greatness." The people cheered, their hands calloused from labor, their eyes alight with purpose. Men and women, young and old, worked side by side, hauling bricks, mixing bitumen, and chanting songs of unity under the Mesopotamian sun. The tower rose level by level, a ziggurat of ambition. Its base sprawled wide, a square foundation anchored deep in the earth, each tier narrower than the last, spiraling upward like a staircase to the stars. Priests offered sacrifices to ensure divine favor, burning incense that curled towards the heavens. Merchants traded grain and tools to keep the workers fed and equipped. Children played in the shadow of the growing structure, dreaming of the day they would climb its heights. But as the tower climbed higher, cracks began to form. Not in the bricks, but in the hearts of the people. The unity that once bound them frayed like a worn rope. The brickmakers, weary from endless labor, grumbled that the architects took credit for their sweat and labor. The architects, perched on scaffolds, argued over angles and measurements, each claiming that their vision was the truest. The priests whispered that the tower's height was an affront to the gods, while the workers below scoffed, saying God was too distant to care. Their leader, once a unifier, had grown impatient. His commands became sharp as a whip, alienating those who once adored him. Words, once a shared river, became a torrent of confusion. A worker called for more bricks, but was brought bitumen instead. An architect shouted for a plumb line, only to receive a basket of reeds. Misunderstandings multiplied and tempers flared. "You do not hear me," became the cry of the marketplace, the work site, even the home. Families quarreled over tasks, neighbors turned away from one another, and the songs of unity fell silent. People of Babel, though they stood shoulder to shoulder, were divided by their own tongues, not yet in language, but in spirit. Above, in the realm unseen, the Lord looked down upon the tower. Its summit still far from the heavens, but bold in its intent. He saw not just the bricks, but the pride that bound them, the human desire to rival the divine, to claim immortality through works of clay. "Behold," he said, "they are one people, and they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. If unchecked, their ambition will consume them." And so, with a breath softer than a whisper, he touched their tongues, and the single language shattered into many. The next dawn, chaos reigned. A brickmaker called out in a tongue unknown to his neighbor. An architect's orders sounded like gibberish to the workers below. The priest's prayers clashed in discordant rhythms, each unintelligible to the other. Confusion swept through Babel like a storm. Workers dropped their tools, unable to coordinate, and families shouted past one another, their words a jumble of unfamiliar sounds. Their leader stood atop the unfinished tower, his voice lost in the cacophony, his dream crumbling with every misunderstood command. The work ceased. The people, once bound by a common goal, scattered across the earth, carrying their new languages like a burden. The tower stood unfinished, its summit jagged against the sky, a monument not to glory, but to division. The city of Babel became a memory, its name whispered as a warning. Ambition without humility and unity without understanding leads to ruin. In more recent history, the Charge of the Light Brigade occurred during the Crimean War in 1854. During this time, British officers sent a very vague order to their cavalry troops, simply stating, "Attack the guns." But which guns were they supposed to attack? A messenger's misinterpretation led to a suicidal charge into heavy Russian artillery. Over 600 men charged, only 200 survived. The poet Alfred Lord Tennyson immortalized it. Into the valley of death rode the 600. A simple mix-up in wording turned strategy into complete slaughter. Another tragedy, the Wounded Knee Massacre in 1890, where U.S. troops surrounded a group of Lakota Sioux performing a ghost dance ritual. This was a peaceful ceremony that was meant to restore their way of life. But cultural misunderstandings escalated, and a soldier misread a dancer's movements as hostile. Gunfire erupted and nearly 300 Lakota were killed, many of them women and children. If we fast forward to the 20th century, the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962, the world teetered on nuclear war because of crossed wires between the US and the Soviet Union. There were so many misinterpreted messages, like Khrushchev's heated letters and Kennedy's blockade, that nearly triggered Armageddon. One Soviet submarine captain who was cut off from communication almost launched a nuclear torpedo due to radio silence and paranoia. Cooler heads eventually prevailed, but it shows how fragile understanding can be in high-stakes talks. And don't forget the 1977 Tenerife Airport disaster. This was the deadliest aviation accident that has ever occurred. Two Boeing 747s collided on a foggy runway, killing 583 people. Due to an air traffic control's ambiguous phrasing, "Okay, stand by for takeoff," was misheard by one pilot as clearance to go. Combined with radio interference, it became the perfect storm of miscommunication. Now, these aren't just oops moments. They're Babel effects on steroids, where polite or routine exchanges hid deadly disconnects. Social media today has fractured our shared reality. We're more linked than ever, but echo chambers make us talk past each other. Just think about political discourse. During the 2024 US election, debates devolved into shouting matches. The candidates and the voters used the same words, freedom and democracy, but they meant wildly different things. Social media is a prime culprit. Platforms like X encourage snappy, performative replies over deep listening. One user lamented how we're losing good faith in discussion in a post-truth world. Everyone speaks, but no one hears, echoing the biblical Babel in a digital age. Another user has pointed to AI addiction and people chat with bots more than humans, which isolate us and break those connections. You feel it in the workplace too. Hybrid meetings where half the team is remote cues the awkward silences and misunderstood emails. During COVID lockdowns, isolation worsened the disconnect. Social skills were atrophied, leading to apathy and threats online that spill offline. And culturally, we've completely lost shared references. There's no more universal knowledge from classics, and jokes flop because not everyone's seen the same shows or read the same books. Even everyday chats are suffering. How are you gets a response of fine with no follow-up. Empathy is eroding. We're disconnected and we're masking destruction in progress and unity. But we're all so self-absorbed that we don't even realize that we can be on the same side of the same idea and still disagree with each other because we're not putting in any effort to listen and to understand. We're not putting in an effort to genuinely care about how the other person perceives something. We must stop this destructive communication breakdown. What I find so ironic is that every single person is so starved for communication and empathy and understanding that in the rush to be heard by someone, we aren't turning around and offering the same understanding to others. How many times have you had someone ask you a question only to cut you off halfway through your answer and start talking about themselves or someone they know that's in the same situation? We have to stop listening to respond and get back to listening to hear the other person. Look, listen, and then respond. Stop being so distracted that you can't even remember what the conversation was about 5 minutes after it's over. Look at one another. Listen to one another. Respond with genuine curiosity and involvement, and ditch the phone or other devices. You don't need to whip out your phone while you're in the middle of a conversation with someone and suddenly get distracted. Build empathy through stories and shared experiences. Believe it or not, there was a time when we did not have the internet, we did not have social media, we did not have cell phones in our pockets. And even in the beginning of having cell phones, we didn't have the ability to text each other unlimitedly like we do now. Back when we texting became a thing, you had to pay a certain amount of money. I think it was like per character in the text. So you couldn't just like whip out a 6-inch long text and send it. Like you had to be very careful and very deliberate in what you were saying because you had to pay for it. And so there wasn't the misunderstanding and the, just the complete and total disconnect because you could just say whatever because you had to say exactly what you meant. We live in a digital world now, but that doesn't mean that we have to let all of the other stuff go. We don't have to let go of our empathy and our communication skills. Scripture emphasizes communication grounded in love and truth. Ephesians 4:29 encourages words that build others up. And in James 1:19, we're advised to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Proverbs 3:6, in all things acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Trust in your faith, guys. Trust in the power of positive communication and positive affirmation. Praise God in all things and he will never misunderstand you. He will never not listen to you. And if you trust in him, he will foster patience, empathy, and a shared sense of purpose within you. The Babel effect does not have to be viewed as the inevitable progression of society. We can get back to common ground. We can find each other again. We can understand one another and dig deeper than the surface niceties. Underneath it all, guys, we're all the same. We are all people. We are all struggling with the same things. We're all struggling, maybe not exactly the same things, but we're all struggling with something. There's not a perfect person alive in this world today. Jesus Christ is the only perfect person. He's coming back, but he's not here yet. And so we're all just striving to be the best that we possibly can be. We are all muddling through. We're all trying to figure out how to get there, how to get to the finish line, but we can do it together. We can get back to communicating, empathizing, affirming one another. Have faith in your ability to do that, and God will see that it's done. Remember, guys, we're all just people and we are in this together. Have a great day. It's raining where I am. I hope the sun is shining where you are. Soak up some of that vitamin D while there's still time before the winter hits. And have a great day, guys.